Hey, Jennifer, could you tell me how did you get started as an English language teacher?
Kind of a roundabout process that I went through. I started first as a general ed teacher after being as a career switcher. So my bachelor's had nothing to do with education. I said, never will I be a teacher. Well, never say never. After I got my general ed education licensure and everything, then I went for the endorsement to become an English as a second language teacher to elementary kids. It's actually endorsement that goes from kindergarten through 12th grade, but it is for students. Current position, this is my 5th year there.
Oh, beautiful. I'm like super excited that you've been with the company for that extent of time and you have a wonderful passion for it. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful journey. Do you have any teaching philosophies that you follow in your classroom?
I like to look for the strength that every student has and look for ways that I can bring that to the fore and just really work on trying to make a connection with that student because it's that connection that's going to help them feel comfortable with wanting to work with me, begin to try and to show what they are capable of doing.
Connection is definitely conducive, right? To if you don't have that initial connection with your student, then trying to talk to them about teaching may not really resonate with them. What is a favorite lesson in your classes that you like to teach to your students?
I generally work with kindergartners right now, so I'm primarily working with just helping them learn their letters and their names and the alphabet letters and sounds. A lot of kind of repetition in things. I like to start with the letters and their names and sometimes turn it into a game where I get real silly and sing-songy with it and things just helps to bring them out a little bit, even if it's just a smile, a giggle, or just you look at it and be like, what, who in the world are you? So I don't necessarily have anything that's a favorite lesson because, as I said, my primary focus is trying to teach them the letters and sounds, but it's presented in a variety of ways. So it's not the same material day after day. They're getting bored. They kind of disengage. I look for ways to try to keep it fresh and to keep it moving forward once we've mastered this letters and sounds so that then they could start to work on other skills for phonemic awareness and phonics and things that move forward into reading.
That is so cool. Just engaging the students more or less on their fundamentals, especially the little ones, that's definitely key. Did being an English language teacher inspire you to learn a second language yourself?
I had started to do some study of a second language. Had studied Spanish several years ago in school, but it's definitely encouraged me to progress forward with my Spanish since the majority of the students that I personally work with now are Hispanic students at the school that I work at. Interested, and I haven't done too much with it yet, but I would like to do some learning of some Arabic and some Russian, just as languages that would be a challenge.
Those two are definitely pretty serious and complex. How would you, our way of learning those languages?
Well, I don't have any students right now that are currently of Arabic or Russian background or cultural background. The way that I've done a lot with improving my Spanish, especially this year, is that my school got Rosetta Stone licenses for us to use. And so I've gotten that for my personal use as well. And we'll be able to try to over more of the summer as I have a little bit more time to start to move forward with learning more of those languages.
Yeah, that's awesome. Rosetta Stone, I heard, is a really great way to develop like a second language.
It gives you the perspective of the student because it throws you in there with no English backup per se as to what the language, what are they trying to say? I have to figure that out and stuff. So it definitely gives you a very good perspective of how your students may be feeling when they come in with no prior English or any other language background as you walk in. I like it for that type of experience just to help me be able to empathize with what the kids are going through perhaps on a daily basis. The teacher from Charlie Brown with a wah, 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 wah. Yes, it can sound like that.
That's good that you can actually relate to them because you're taking language courses on that program. That's great. What is some advice you could give someone who is aspiring to be an English language teacher?
It is definitely a career that I'm finding very rewarding, but just to remember that each student comes in having strengths, they can try to give something to their education, their process themselves, even if they don't have any proficiency with the language yet, or if they're just coming in out of bind or coming in no schooling whatsoever previously with pre-K or preschool or anything. Each child has a strength, and just to try to look for that, try to inspire a love of learning in some fashion with the kids. Know that it can be fun. It doesn't have to be a scary, overwhelming experience. A smile goes a long, long way.
Just trying to have that heartwarming experience with your students. Definitely agreeing, a lot of audience will resonate. Just like you said, a smile will go a long way in making your classes comfortable experience. Do you have any English language course or business or services you provide outside of your regular job?
Currently have anything that I am involved with outside of working with the school system that I'm with. But I have in the past, I did some freelance work through like guru.com and some of our pandemic time, kind of short-lived. And I just haven't had an opportunity to be able to work with one of the many, many companies that's out there that's online that can help students with learning.
Okay. Well, that's good that you had your hands in freelancing, so you understand a little bit of like that independence and working for yourself. So that's awesome. What cultural norms did you encounter while teaching your students?
I have run across students. I have done some subbing and working as an instructional assistant before I became a full-time licensed professional educator. And so I have encountered some students who do wear the hijab or the traditional Arab garb at times with some of the students that I've come across. But mostly it's how the language that there's their first chosen preference of language. I haven't run across anything that's necessarily been a hindrance, but just trying to be open and not expect that every student is going to respond the way that an American student would. I know in different cultures that it's traditional looking down, you're not meeting the teacher's eye straight in the eye. That's a very respectful way. Yet here in the United States, a lot of times I've run across teachers who aren't very insisting that these students look at them and not understanding that that's the way they're showing respect to the teacher. They don't understand that to look somebody in the eye right now is a way that we can choose to converse and show respect, that different people have different ways through their body language and nonverbal cues to show respect or understanding or paying attention. You kind of have to learn that there's a dictionary that you have to kind of expand upon and add to through your experience of just how different people will show different things. But they're not, an Arabic man may choose not to shake my hand does not mean that he's not going to respect and value what I have to say if it's something that he's asked me to try to teach him.
Thank you so much for your insight on that. A lot of teachers do have to just respect our students and how they interact. What is the one common myth about being an English language teacher that you would like to debunk?
A lot of people believe that you actually have to know a second language in order to be able to be in English as a second language teacher. That is not the case. At least it's not a qualification for what I had to have for the job that I currently hold. It is something that can come in handy because I can take experiences that I have with trying to learn Spanish, and I get caught up in conversations where they're just, they think, oh, Spanish, oh my goodness, she understands it. And they start 100 miles an hour. And my brain is going like, I caught that word. Let me see. Can I get the gist of what they're trying to tell me? It's not something that necessarily has to happen, but the fact that I try to make an effort to learn a few words in any of the languages that of students that I've come across, just to kind of let them have a moment where they can be the teacher in a way and try to teach me a word. And some of my experiences has certainly been pretty funny along the way.
I presume you would have learned a lot of different fun ways of saying one thing. That would be pretty cool.
You see, if you use it, you don't use it, you lose it. And unfortunately, I've lost some of the phrases I had in Chinese from several years ago with a student when I was working as an instructional assistant. But she was trying to have me learn words like lemon and then gave me the task, learn my name. And I'm like, I don't even know what your Chinese version of your name is, because she was known by an American name. But just having her give me different phrases and me come back, is it this? But yes. That was a lot of fun. I just
have any preferences in teaching adults or children in your classes? If so, why?
I've not really had an opportunity to teach adults. I did work with a couple of young men when I did some freelance work. I was trying to help some young men get ready for their ISIL test as they were getting ready to try to move out of their home country, get ready to do more advanced education abroad for medical career they wish to get into. But that was, as I said, it was a limited time, and it was geared towards helping them to take their exams specifically so they could get the qualification that they understood English as a foreign language well enough to be able to move on to either an American or...
Want a free gift? Why don't you visit www.teachingonlineenglish.com? To get exclusive content, our latest episodes, and even more great resources for you there. So I'll let you get back to our conversation.
UK university, but that's the only limited experience that I've had, and I've not had any opportunities since moving to Richmond to be able to work with adults, though I certainly would not turn down the opportunity to work with that, because it's a way to build a whole new relationship and learn about a person in a way that you don't get with 5 and 6 year olds.
Yes, most definitely.
I like being silly, so the opportunity to work with the younger kids does allow me that.
Yeah, there's different personalities of the dynamics with children, and adult teachers opt in to teach adults because they can relate to them. Is it necessary to have a side hustle or an additional source of income while teaching in this profession?
I personally don't have the need to have a side hustle or a job on the side in order to help make a budget monthly. I'm very fortunate that my husband has a very good job. I do understand that the way that as teachers, we don't get into it for the salary, obviously. It's more passion that we have for what we're doing, and hopefully that's enough that keeps us there and helps us get through the type of times that we have throughout the years. I do understand, though, that some people do, which is why you've got communities that do the online teaching as well. And I think it's a good thing that people have the opportunities that they can take it in with the World Wide Web and just reaching many more people than we thought possible even 2 years ago. It's continuing to grow and have that chance for students to learn and for people to continue to make a living wage.
Your insight about that, definitely with the change of climate with COVID, everyone is, the jobs outside weren't existing, right? And so everyone had to pivot to more online base. So having those different lines of income definitely help certain households. What are some warm-ups or introductions you conduct in your classes?
Since I'm generally pushing into other teachers' classrooms, I don't have the access to technology and things that you can find in the classroom. But little ritual that I like to do with students is to greet each student by name and say hi. Hi, Cashmere. Good morning, and ask them how they are, and then prompt them to have it repeat it back to me. So it's a way that they're starting to get a little bit of that social interaction language, just a little bit, and just to get comfortable talking a little bit. And even if all I can get them to say is hello and good, and then give them a chance. And then sometimes in the beginning, I had some that really wouldn't repeat it back. So I would say, oh, thank you, I'm good too. But now I'm at the point where I can just kind of point to them. They'll say hello, I'll say, how are you? They'll respond, and then I'll get prompt them to say it back to me. And many times I've got a group that the kids are just like trying to trip over their words to say it to me before I can get answered.
That's a really fun part when they're really enthusiastic and they want to go before the teacher. That's like, oh, great. You have made an impact. Have you faced challenges while teaching, and what did you learn from any of them?
Probably one of the greatest challenges that I have faced and continue to face at time is that teachers will look at students who do not have a proficiency in English and will think that they don't know a whole lot, or they don't know anything, or they may not have a background of any type of knowledge. And while they can be discouraged within the class, maybe with the teacher, it may be a little bit of a negative atmosphere. Unfortunately, when they're with me, I try to build something that is a good, positive, a safe environment that they can be with me. And if it's something that's like, I try not to get upset, you know, if somebody, we're working on an exercise sheet and they had to color in pictures according to letter sounds. Well, they used the wrong color. It's like, nope, We just take our right color, we just color over it and made a mistake. It's okay. We're going to keep on going forward. So just trying to get those students to believe in themselves can sometimes be a challenge, but that's where I work on establishing those relationships with the children to begin with. That's important to do before you even try to begin any instruction of any type of material or anything, is just connecting in a way, whether it's you sit down, you look through a book together, you kind of smile, you look at pictures, I say what the word is, and maybe they can tell me in their language what the word is, and I stumble my way through it. I might mess up to show them, okay, well, let me try again. Use it as some teaching moments to move forward and show them it's okay to not know everything, and they don't have to, and they will get it. And so I try to do that just by an example and as a model.
I really love how your approach is just being friendly and meeting them where they are and not seeing their mistakes as a way of a learning process. Definitely something our audience can utilize. It's commonly thought that one can teach remotely online from anywhere in the world that would allow them to have a nomadic lifestyle.
I've always been stationary myself, the little bit that I have done teaching, but I've been able to teach and work with students in Taiwan, and I've also had the opportunity to work with students from the Middle East. So it have a nomadic lifestyle. It's certainly kind of the little bit of it is that you're able to reach students anywhere. The thought that I have that might prohibit being able to be nomadic and move out around wherever, so you don't know, not every place has the same amount of internet accessibility as we are accustomed to more in our industrialized and urbanized areas, and even places within the U.S. If you were to go on top up into the Rocky Mountain National Park and you're trying to do something, you might not have as good of a reception as you might down within a city of Denver or other places. So I think we're going towards that as our technology gets better and better, but I don't think we're there yet.
At home in the United States, you can have that nomadic lifestyle, but still incur like technical difficulties as if you're in a third world country. And do you think it's better to teach privately or to teach at a school?
I think both atmospheres can have their benefits and their drawbacks. I like teaching in the public school atmosphere just because you tend to have some consistency. If system does have a curriculum across it about how the children are taught, your hands are tied some ways too as to what you might be able to teach. In a private school, you might be able to have a little bit more freedom to explore other things. Oh, the kids are interested in science, this topic, the way planets revolve around the sun. Ooh, well, let's explore this a little bit more and the vocabulary and language that go with that. It'd be able to have a little bit more freedom that way for a little bit if you're not tied in by pacing guides per se. I could very well be wrong on that. I really don't have a whole lot of experience with any private school sector, so I could very well be wrong on that, but that's what I imagine could be a very big benefit for that. You might be able to have some more leeway in things to do ways not being tied in with how the school system has dictated when and what should be taught according to PACE guides and curriculum.
A lot of private sectors or services, you don't have that curriculum that you're set into this system. While working privately, you have a little bit more freedom depending on what type of company that you set yourself with. Do you have any goals, Jennifer, that you're working towards in 2023 you would like to share?
Professionally, no, I don't have any goals that I necessarily would be able to come to fruition within 2023. A long-term goal and dream of mine would be that I hope someday that I do get to actually teach in an international school just to have that experience. But so far that opportunity has not availed itself when I've had the availability to be able to go abroad. So I continue to hold on to that as my dream and hope, well, again, said never say never. But right now, I think just the biggest thing is making it through to the summer.
I commend you so much for just putting your beautiful spirit out there and touching so many of those students' lives. Just you being on a podcast is like an international reach. And so even though you're not physically international, you are making an impact just being on this podcast and sharing your experience. Where can our audience find you if they want to reach out and contact you?
Well, I am on LinkedIn, which is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. I'm in Virginia, so the profile would say Richmond, Virginia. I know there's a lot of Jennifer Browns out there. It's common first name and common last name. My middle initial is L, so if that helps in any way, that may be in my profile.
You're unique and special. That's all that matters. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us in the podcast. It was such a pleasure to have you on here and to share your beautiful experience.
Thank you very much, Samantha, for the opportunity to. It has certainly been a nice experience for me to get to be on kind of this side of the, not just the audience participant listening to the finished product, but actually be part of the works. So that was nice.
That was an amazing episode with Teaching Online English Podcast. Do one act of kindness today and subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget to share it. We are super appreciative of your support. And please visit www.teachingonlineenglish.com for exclusive content, resources on getting an English language job, and reading up on some helpful articles. Thank you so much again for your support.